Proverbs chapter number 4 this morning. And we'll look at our verse number 23. Proverbs 4:23. The Bible says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." Let's read it one more time. "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank You this morning for all that You've done. Thank You, dear Lord, for loving us, for saving us. Dear Lord, I pray this morning if there's one here that's never, dear Lord, come to know You as their personal Savior, I pray that today might be the day that they accept You and are saved. Dear Father, I pray today that You would take Your Word and the message that You've laid on our hearts for this hour, and that You would use it, dear Lord, and that You would just, dear Lord, just do what needs to be done in our hearts and lives. Dear Lord, there's so many things that we all face every day in our lives, so many battles that we face, so many temptations that we face. Dear Father, I pray today that You would take Your words, You would speak to our hearts, that You give us the anointing of the Holy Spirit, that You give us Your leading, Your guiding, Your directing, dear Lord. And I pray that we'd do nothing this morning to quench or to grieve Your Spirit, but we'd just allow You this morning to speak to our hearts and help us to respond, dear Lord, as You speak to our hearts this morning. Thank You for all that You've done and for allowing us to be here and what You're going to do and for meeting with us this morning already. In Jesus' name, amen. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse number 23 talks about the heart. And I guess this morning that I think we probably, most of us, could agree. I don't know if what I'm getting ready to say is technically, medically the correct answer, but I think it's pretty close to it if it's not exact, that one of the most, if not the most important part of the body is our heart. Amen? Because if the heart stops, then nothing else is going to pretty much function or go on at all. The heart is very important when it comes to our physical body. I believe the same thing's true we see from Scripture when it comes to our spiritual well-being as well is our heart. Amen? Our heart is very important. Here we see in Proverbs 4:23, the Bible has a lot to say in a lot of different places about the heart. And I don't expect to get done this morning. I expect to finish this up tonight again. But Proverbs 4 and verse number 23 is kind of, I guess, maybe one of the most well-known verses about the heart in the Bible. And it says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence." In other words, it takes some work, right? It takes some effort. It takes some guarding, if you will. "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." When you begin to look at the heart, a lot of times the issues that we face in our lives, the issues that we are presented with, a lot of times they all start and originate with a problem in the heart. Amen? I know oftentimes when people have health issues, physical issues, it all come back to the heart, right? Not doing something right, maybe. And so a lot of times we see it comes down to the heart. And you think with me, the Bible has a lot to say about the spiritual heart, and that's what we're going to look at this morning, is the more the spiritual side than the physical heart, of course. But you think with me, it's one of the most, if not the most, important part of the body. Oftentimes we take, when we are sharing the gospel with someone or talking to someone and witnessing to them, a lot of times we'll ask them this question, and probably about everyone in here at some point or time or another has asked somebody something like this: "Have you asked Jesus to come into your heart?" Right? We ask people that sometimes. Have you asked Jesus to come into your heart? You know, have you prayed and asked Him to come into your heart or simply save you? Right? Is what we're saying. Have you asked Him to come into your heart? And I've heard people criticize that statement before and say we shouldn't technically ask it that way and this, that, and the other type of thing and get all technical with it. But I don't believe there's anything wrong with us saying this morning, "Have you asked Jesus to come into your heart?" Because "keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it is the issues of life." And one of the issues of life, and the biggest one, is whether you're saved or not. Amen? Whether you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. That's part one of the biggest issues of life. Have you asked the Lord this morning to come into your heart? We often ask people. And then we sing a song in this hymn book that you can sing after you've done that, "Since Jesus came into my heart. Amen. Oh, the joy o'er my soul like the sea billows roll since Jesus came into my heart. And so once you've asked Jesus to come into your heart and to save you, then you can sing that song about since Jesus came into your heart. Maybe today there's someone in here, I don't know. Most of us are regulars, although that don't mean necessarily we all know the Lord is our Savior this morning, because it's about knowing and asking the Lord to come into your heart, asking Him to save you, forgiving you of those sins. Has there ever come a time and a place in your life where you've asked Jesus to come into your heart, to save you, to forgive you of your sins this morning? Because that must be done first before really we get into the message that we're going to talk about this morning. Because we're mainly going to be talking to those that are saved this morning. The message is going to be really more directed and tonight toward those that are believers. But when you think about the heart, I've heard a lot of people make statements like this, and it's true today, that when it comes to our heart, we don't even know our own heart. Amen? The Bible tells us that, Jeremiah 17 and verse number 9. The Bible says, the heart is deceitful above all things. Be careful when you follow your heart. Now, I know we say that a lot of times, and people say that, I was just following my heart. Be careful. Amen. The heart, the Bible said, is deceitful above all things. You follow your heart and your feelings a lot of times, and you can be deceived, right? You can go in the wrong direction. The heart is deceitful above all things. I think about that's why it's so easy for us a lot of times to spew out something that's false, ain't it? For us to lie, if you will. It's an easy thing to lie, ain't it? Even little kids do it all the time. David, did you clean up your room? Yeah, and you go in there and still stuff's on the floor. He picked up one thing, right? The heart is deceitful above all things. Amen? And it goes on, and desperately wicked. Our hearts are wicked, folks. Our hearts, if you will, this morning, they are wicked. Wicked. And then the verse ends this way, who can know it? You take today and you look at the heart and you look around at the people that's around us, and the verse that we're using as our text verse, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. A lot of the issues that we see that's problems around us is because people are following their emotions, because people are following their feelings. If you will, they're following their heart, if you will, rather than following what thus saith the Lord, rather than following the Word of God, rather than following what God says, and therefore you look around and you say, how in the world could somebody take and do this or that or the other? All these things you see on the news. Somebody gets mad at somebody, what do? Kill them. Right? They're following their heart. They're doing what they feel like, if you will, in the heat of the moment. There's lots of times I feel like doing things my heart wants me to do, and I say, no, don't do that. That's wrong. That's not right. Don't do that, right? The heart is desperately wicked. It's deceitful. Who can know it? Amen? That's why we got to be careful, we said, and I've said this before in my life. I'm getting better at not doing this. I said, I'll never do that. Be careful. The heart's desperately wicked, deceitful. Who can know it? Amen. I think that's why a lot of times when people take and say, I can't do that, I will never do that, guess what they wind up doing? Doing it a lot of times. Why? Because you don't even know your own heart. You don't even know and realize what you would do if it wasn't for the Lord this morning. Amen. Who can know their heart? May I say, I've kind of said this already, there's only one that truly knows the hidden deepest parts of the heart. And it's not me. And it's not you, it's only the Lord. The Bible tells us that in one verse that we'll give you this morning. Psalms 44:21 said, shall not God search this out? For He knoweth the secrets of the heart. I think about, I didn't even realize I was lost and I was a sinner until one day the Lord revealed it to me and showed me. Amen. Through the preaching, through the teaching of God's Word, through some singing, that the Lord revealed to me and showed me that I was a sinner. The Holy Spirit of God, if you will, searched my heart. He convicted me, is the word we use a lot of times, right? He searched my heart. I didn't even realize that I was desperately wicked. I didn't even realize the condition I was in. You were the same way, but the Lord convicted you of that. He searched you out. He revealed. He showed those things to you. He showed those things to me. And we saw that we needed to be saved. Notice the rest of the verse, Psalms 44:21. Shall not God search this out? for He knoweth the secrets of the heart. God is the one this morning that knows the secrets of mine and your heart. The secrets that we think nobody knows about but us, God knows. The secret things this morning that even we don't realize, guess what? God knows. God knows mine and your hearts this morning better than even we know our own hearts. Amen? He knows them better than we do this morning. Therefore, if we're going to take this morning and tonight and look at the heart, we got to have the help of the Lord. Amen? Because the heart's desperately wicked, deceitful. Who can know it? If the Lord's the one that knows my heart better than I do and your heart better than you do, if we're going to get down the title of the message to the heart of the matter, then we've got to have His help. We've got to have His help, and we've got to go to His Word that is really what reveals to us our hearts. God's Word reveals to us our hearts. Turn with me, if you would, to Hebrews chapter number 4. And we use this verse a lot of times, but we miss, I believe, part of what this verse says. But this morning, let's not miss it as we're talking about the heart. Hebrews 4 and verse number 12. How do I know, Pastor, what's in my heart? When you said I can't know it, who can know it? How do I know these things? What's in my heart? How do I do? Notice, Hebrews 4:12 tells us how the Lord can help to show us and reveal to us even those things in the hidden parts of our heart, because He's the only one that knows them. Hebrews 4:12. The Bible said, for the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. You see, the only way that we can really see our heart and see ourselves for who we are and what we are in the hidden parts and the innermost on the inside, if we're going to dig down deep, is by getting in to the Word of God. I think about the day that you got saved, that I got saved. I guarantee you there was some Scripture, amen? There was the Word of God that took and was taught, was preached, was sung, that was used, the Romans Road, whatever have you, and the Holy Spirit of God convicted you and showed you that you were desperately wicked, showed you that you was a sinner, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, showed you your need of salvation. Amen. The Lord got down, if you will, to the heart of the matter. You think with me this morning, if we're going to look at the heart, we've got to have the Lord's help, and we've got to look at His Word, because that's the knife, if you will. That's the sword. That's what needs to be used if we're going to see our hearts and look inside, if you will, our spiritual life and see what needs improving or what area we need the Lord to help us with, and we need to pray and talk to Him about this morning. We must ask the Lord simply to show us our heart as we look at His Word. And that's what we ought to do every day. Lord, show me what's in that wicked old heart of mine as I take and look at Your Word, that I might be more like You, that I might draw closer to You, just have that just a closer walk with Thee that we sing about from time to time. Psalmist David said it this way, Psalms 139 in verse 23 and 24, a good prayer that we ought to pray. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Amen. Search my heart, O God. Show me what from Your Word. Show me through Your Holy Spirit, through Your Word, my heart, that I might not go into the ways of the world, the ways of these things that are evil, that are wicked, that are against God, but instead that You might lead me in the way everlasting. Amen. That's the way I want to go in, the way that honors, the way that pleases God this morning. Before we get into the first point of the message, getting down to the heart of the matter, you think about just what we've talked about so far this morning about the heart. Think with me about it. No wonder we take and we look around us today and we see the wickedness and the evilness going on all around us. A lot of times I take and do this at night. I don't know, you can call it whatever. I like to watch the news. But there's only so much I can tolerate, as much as I like to watch it. I like to watch political things and see what's going on and taking place. But then again, believe it or not, Kelly probably don't believe this, and she's glad we ain't got cable, because I'd be watching Fox News and all them political stations all the time and wasting a bunch of my time. Probably good I don't have it. But there's only so much of that you can even take. But you take a lot of times, I'm saying, and you watch the news, you listen to the news, you see these things, and you think to yourself, how in the world, I know we've all sit there and done it on the couch at night, how in the world can somebody do that? How can somebody do this? How can somebody do that? How could they do this? All these shootings, right? All these things that's going on and taking place around us. How in the world can the Supreme Court do what they're doing? How in the world can our country go in the direction that they're going in? Well, getting down to the heart of the matter, our heart is desperately wicked. It's deceitful above all things, and who can know it? Because we as humans this morning, we're wicked. Amen? We are wicked. And those that don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior this morning, they're out there just doing whatever their heart desires, if you will. Whatever they feel like doing, following their heart, if you will. I give you an example. We talk about homosexuality. What are they doing? Following their heart, right? Following their emotions. There it is. Oh, I love so-and-so and such and this and that and the other. Well, the Word of God says it's wrong this morning. Amen? Amen? Follow the Word. Don't follow the will of man. Don't follow the flesh. Follow what God's Word says. People say, they say today, you think about abortion. Think with me about that, folks. I was watching on the news this past week, and there was this lady, and don't take me wrong. Probably shouldn't be recording this. But don't take me wrong this morning. There was this lady and she was talking about, I can't remember, Michigan, I believe it was, somewhere, Illinois one. And the little kid, the guy, it was the father, was on there. And he was talking about his child had just got shot, tragedy. Tragedy, the little kid had died. Some of y'all probably saw that on news, I believe a drive-by or something, I'm not sure. But little kid had got shot. And they were trying to use it, the media was playing it up, y'all know how they do, to we need to get rid of guns. We need to get rid of guns. That was their whole point of all that. And they had this thing about all these kids that's died this year due to gun violence. And I sat there on the couch and I said, that's bad. It's horrible. But I couldn't help but think this. 3,000 die a day due to abortion. What about that number? Why don't we outlaw that and keep the gun? Amen? I'm not saying that's a tragedy, and those are tragedies, and they're awful, and they're bad, and they're wicked. But nobody's saying nothing about abortion this morning, are they? Nobody's saying nothing at all about that. You see, this morning, folks, our heart is deceitful. It's desperately wicked above all things. Who can know it? You think about all the things that's going on around our world today. Homosexuality, abortion, you look at the wickedness, the murder, the thefts, the robberies, the adultery, the fornication, the broken homes, the broken marriages. Keep on going down the line with me this morning. All those things. How can somebody follow Islam? How can somebody follow Buddha? How can somebody follow Hindu? How can somebody follow what the Jehovah's Witnesses are teaching? How can people go into this contemporary church movement that's going on? How can people go in all these directions and areas? Because they're being deceived by the devil, and they're following their desperately wicked and deceitful heart. You see, this morning, folks, you think with me, we need to get down to the heart of the matter. You think about the heart this morning. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. The heart's important this morning. The heart is so very, very important. And that's why you see a lot of these wicked, evil things. And you know what it does? Turn with me to Jeremiah 23. Jeremiah 23. Jeremiah 23. All that was by way of introduction. Jeremiah 23. Talking about our heart. Jeremiah 23. As believers, sometimes this happens in our lives. Even to a person that's lost, a lot of times they get in this situation. We all do as human beings a lot of times. We come to the place where we have what Jeremiah said he had in Jeremiah 23. We come to the place where it says in Jeremiah 23, and I wish we had the time, if you want to do it later, it'd be awesome to go along with this, to read all of Jeremiah 23. But we'll start in verse 9. The Bible says, mine heart within me is broken. Let's stop right there just for a second. Have you ever been to the place in your life where you felt like your heart was broken? I guarantee you, all of us, if we're honest this morning, would say we've been there at least one time in our lives. Now, somebody may sit here this morning and be judgmental and may say, well, you ain't never went through nothing like I have. Well, a lot of times your heart can break over something that nobody else even really truly knows what it is or how it is or circumstances or situations. And some things that one person's heart may break over, another person may take because the Lord made us all different and just mow right on through that and not have a problem, right? And so hearts, different people's hearts break over different things, and sometimes it takes more for certain people's heart to break than other people's heart to break, because maybe people's emotions and different ways that God made us, or maybe because somebody's heart is hardened, it might take more to break their heart. And that's a whole other subject we're not going to be able to get on this morning with all that we got to cover. But you think about the heart this morning, oftentimes our heart gets broken. We're talking about a spiritual heart. Now we could turn, and we'll just mention this just for a second, when your spiritual heart is broken, when you're having a hard time, a struggle, you're just broken in heart, it affects the physical a lot of times too, don't it? It really does. You think with me about the spiritual heart being broken. Here, Jeremiah, we call Jeremiah the, what's he called? Weeping prophet. You ever take and read the book of Jeremiah and you'll see why he's called that. Because he was oftentimes, most of the time, weeping and crying and just pouring out his heart because of the wickedness of the nation of Israel. Because of his love for the people of God and his love for God, and he kept trying to tell them what God would tell him and tried to deliver the message, but what did they do? Didn't want to hear him. Didn't want to hear him. Wouldn't listen to him. It come to the place in one point where Jeremiah kind of got discouraged, we might say, and he said this. He said, I didn't want to speak anymore in God's name. I didn't want to say anymore. He said, but God's word was in me like a fire shut up in my bones. I couldn't help but speak it. You think about Jeremiah, he was one that was a prophet of God, a man that was known as the weeping prophet. Here was a man that's weeping. His heart is broken, he says. But notice why his heart's broken. Mine heart within me is broken because of the prophets. All my bones shake. I am like a drunken man. A man who just basically has no control of himself, right? Notice, and like a man whom wine hath overcome because of the Lord and because of the words of His holiness. For the land is full of adulterers. And here he's not talking about fleshly, if you will, adultery in the sense of a man and a woman, I believe, taking in the man or the woman going and messing with somebody else. He's talking about spiritual adultery here. Because these people were God's people, and what were they doing? Messing with idols. Idol worship. They were worshiping something other than God, which goes against the Ten Commandments, right? Of having no other gods before me, worshiping no other god. God being a jealous God. The land is full of adulterers. What a hard message Jeremiah delivers. This is just one of them. For because of swearing, the land mourneth. The pleasant places of the wilderness are dried up, and their course is evil, and their force is not right. Boy, don't we see that today all around us. Amen. Their core force is not right. For both prophet and priest are profane. Yea, in my house have I found their wickedness, saith the Lord. And we could read on down here, and boy, there's so many good things. But let's read 13. And I have seen folly in the prophets of Samaria. They prophesied in Baal and caused my people Israel to err. And we could read on down some other things. It's just heartbreaking. No wonder he was called the weeping prophet. No wonder his heart was broken, because he had seen, if you will, the condition of God's people as they had taken, and the false prophets, the false teachings that was going on, the false doctrines that was taking place. The people were following after these things. They were following after the idols, Baal, all these things we could get into. In other words, the people were in a mess. The people were in sin. The country was a mess. mess. The people was in a mess. And Jeremiah was trying to preach the truth. He was trying to share with them the Word of God as God gave it to him. He cried. He wept over them. Many times he was persecuted because of that and punished, if you will, because of simply telling them the truth of the Word of God and they didn't want to hear it. You think about today, his heart was broken because of the condition of the nation and the condition of God's people. Notice in verse 9, he said, "My heart within me is broken because of the prophets. All my bones are shaken." Notice his heart is broken and his bones is shaken. I can't think about, you know, when my heart's been broken before in my life. Is that not what happens sometimes? Your heart's broken so much and your bones within you, you're just shaking. Amen. You're just shaking. You're just upset. Just tore out the frame, the words we use sometimes. That's what's happening here to Jeremiah because he sees the wicked condition that the people around him are in and that the nation is in. I think about today, folks, where is our broken heart? Where is mine and your broken heart? We ought to be like Jeremiah was here. Our heart ought to be broken and our bones ought to be shaken this morning because we see the holiness of God as He did at the end of verse 9 and because we see the wickedness of the things going on and taking place around us. Whether it be the homosexuality, the abortion, whether it be all these false doctrines and false teachings of these churches around that people are being led astray by the thousands with, we say, how can people and churches go from using this Word of God, the King James, believing the Bible, that every word in it's the Word of God, it's inspired, it's inerrant, and now that same church 10, 15 years later don't even believe that anymore and they're using 9 different versions of the Bible? Folks, it's because they've went the way of these false prophets and false teachers and false things. Our hearts ought to be breaking over that. Our bones ought to be shaking over the things we see going on in our country. We ought to be, as Jeremiah was, weeping. We ought to be the weeping people today. Amen. We ought to be the weeping people down on our faces before God, weeping for our nation, for our country, for the people that's around us, even those that may be saved that's got duped by some of these things, that's gotten involved in sin and caught up in sin. I think about some people that I know of, that I grew up and went to church with, folks, and good people, and I believe some of them truly are probably saved. But then again, only the Lord knows the heart, right? This morning, folks, and they're just out of church altogether. And you say, how in the world? Some of them have filthy mouths, and as filthy as can be, but yet it used to be they bless God. Now they curse God, if you will. It ought to not be that way this morning. Our hearts ought to be breaking. Our bones ought to be shaking because of the things that we see going on and taking place in our country. People say today, why is God doing these things around us? Why do we see these shootings? Why do we see all these things? I don't know, but God hasn't left us. Amen. God's not going to leave His people. But maybe, just as a song I've been listening to recently that just come out says, maybe He's left some of those people, if you will, because they've turned away from Him. He's been kicked out of schools. Look at the schools. Right? He's been kicked out of our country. Okay, look at it. Been kicked out of the White House. Look at it. So on and so forth. Been kicked out of our homes. Okay, look at them. You see, our hearts ought to be breaking. Our bones ought to be shaken because of the condition of our nation and the condition of God's people this morning. Think with me. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 3 is the day that we live in, and I believe it describes the day that Jeremiah was in as well. 2 Timothy 4:3 says, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine." They didn't want to hear the sound doctrine and the sound truth of the message of God from the man of God, from the Word of God that Jeremiah was delivering. And he wept and cried and prayed over the fact publicly and privately because they would not listen. Today we need to do the same thing as the people of God. You think with me, instead of getting mad and angry and upset over all these tragedies, although there's a such thing as righteous anger, I understand that, but when's the last time our hearts truly wept and cried over it because we see those people need the Lord? Amen? Those people need the Lord. You think with me this morning, here it said, for the time, 2 Timothy 4:3, will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. They say, let's just get together, put those things aside. We don't need to talk about those things. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And instead today, just like back in Jeremiah's day, rather than listening to the truth, people today, what do? They turn their ears away from the truth and listen to what they want to hear. They follow their heart. They follow what feels good, whether in following what we ought to follow, and that's following the Word of God. Amen? I've always heard the sayings talking about open hearts and open minds. Let me tell you something. Be careful what you open your mind and you open your heart to. Amen? Be very careful. Very, very careful. This morning, Jeremiah had a broken heart because of the things, the wickedness and the evilness that he was seeing around him. But turn with me to Psalm 69. Psalm 69, and we'll see there's lots of things that can cause someone to have a broken heart. And I believe the first one that we talked about, all of our hearts ought to be broken over. Psalm 69 in verse number 19, this morning we see another time where someone's heart was broken. And there's lots of times we can look at this in Scripture, but I'm just going to give you two this morning the Lord's laid on our heart. Psalm 69 in verse number 19. I encourage you later again, I wish we could take and read the whole chapter of Psalm 69 because it'd paint a better picture and you'd really be able to see everything of what we're going at here. Because in Psalm 69, he's talking about here, the psalmist is David here again, about some afflictions, some trials that he's going through, about the enemies that's surrounding him, that he's facing, the battles, if you will. And then in Psalm 69 verse 19, he says, "Thou hast known my reproach and my shame and my dishonor. Mine adversaries are all before thee." The Lord sees them. Amen. Reproach, notice this, hath broken my heart. And I am full of heaviness. And I looked for some to take pity, but there was none. And for comforters, but I found none. I believe another thing this morning that broke the psalmist's heart here that can cause people's hearts to break a lot of time is affliction from the enemy. Affliction from the enemy. Reproach from the enemy. Today, maybe because of the wickedness. I think about this is what happened to Jeremiah too. Is the reason why he wept a lot of times, no doubt, is because here he was trying to serve God, trying to do us right. Nobody was listening to him. But guess what? His heart was breaking, and a lot of times he got persecuted for it. He got persecuted, prisoned, for taking and simply doing what God would have for him to do. Folks, today when reproach comes from our enemies, when reproach comes from those that are around us, you know what it can oftentimes do? It can break our heart. Amen? Because here we are simply trying to serve God and do what's right, and now we're facing this consequence, this trial, this hardship, and all we've been trying to do is do what's right. And now our heart breaks because we're going through all these things and we say things, if we're not careful, like, "Lord, this ain't fair. I'm trying to serve you. I'm trying to do this. I'm just trying to do what's right. And Lord, now look at what so-and-so's doing to me. Look at what such-and-such is saying to me." That's where David was right here. He said, "Reproach hath broken my heart. I am full of heaviness." You ever had your heart broken and you're just full of heaviness? Just feels like a weight that just you can't get off. Amen? That heaviness, that cloud, if you will, that weighs you down. Heaviness. And he said, "I looked for some to take pity, but there was none." He didn't have no one to take pity on him. He didn't have no one to comfort him. He looked for someone to comfort him. Nobody on this earth had pity on him and nobody comforted him. You ever felt like that before? Nobody knows what I'm going through. Nobody has any pity. Nobody really truly has any words of comfort, of help for what I'm facing. Here we see, this is where David was. His heart was broken because of the reproach from the enemy. And if you look here, you'll see that back up in verse 13, you'll see that he's praying to the Lord. If you read those verses, and he's asking the Lord for help. He's asking the Lord to help him with what he's facing. You think today with me, his heart's broken because of the enemies. How many times has mine in your life, our heart's been broken because of our enemies? Maybe something somebody says to you at work. Maybe something a family member may say to you. Maybe something a church member may say to you. Maybe something, who knows, may say to you. Maybe something somebody does to you. You think about sometimes people can do some cruel things, even fellow believers. Amen? You think with me, sometimes they mean it intentional, sometimes maybe unintentional. Sometimes the devil just, you know, leads people astray in the wrong thing. But you think about this morning, when you're approached from your enemies and your heart's broken, realize that David was the same way. Realize David had his heart broken. Jeremiah had his heart broken. And I give you this, those two examples this morning. I could think about, I believe, another one we could show. Them two was directly from Scripture. But another one that had his heart broken was Job. And he was just doing right too, wasn't he? But think about his heart was broken as well as he lost everything. Today, even when your heart's broken, there's a testimony of come to God and trust Him and He'll help you through it. Amen?
Amen.
He knows your heart. He can help. You think about the broken heart this morning, getting down to the heart of the matter. Sometimes some things that we haven't even mentioned can cause a person's heart to break along the journey of life. Sometimes a person's heart can break because of a health problem. Amen? Sometimes we get a bad diagnosis from the doctor, just like the gentleman I shared with you with a while ago that the Lord used to write that song. But through it all, you can trust Him. Amen? You think about sometimes a person gets a broken heart because of family problems. Sometimes a person gets a broken heart due to job problems. Sometimes a person gets a broken heart through loved ones passing on. There's many things that can cause you and I to have a broken heart. And broken hearts are real this morning. Amen? You might not be able to take medically and look inside and say, okay, that person's heart is broken in half like we see the pictures of, right? But you know what? I believe it's just like that a lot of times truly in our lives, ain't it? If we could look inside Jeremiah, we could look inside David with the verses that we read this morning, I think that's what you'd see, spiritually speaking, is their heart was broken. Their heart was hurting, if you will, because of what was going on and taking place. Sometimes our heart can be broken because of the situation of our nation, of our country, of people around us, of God's people. Sometimes due to our own personal circumstances and situations, our heart can be broken. And sometimes our heart can be broken because of the enemies that surround us. Many things can cause our heart to be broken this morning. But this morning, if your heart's broken, or if your heart's not broken right now, I encourage you to write down these next three verses of Scripture. Because if your heart's not broken now, there'll come a time. And this ain't good news this morning. This ain't health and wealth prosperity preaching by no means. But there'll come a time where your heart will be broken again. You know that? Barring the grace of God and the coming of God, there's going to be hard times to come. Because look around at the wickedness and everything that's taking place around us, folks. There's going to be a lot more times a broken heart coming. Don't you believe that?
That's right.
I do.
That's right.
I do. A lot more hard times are coming. These three verses of Scripture, we're going to look at them. Turn to Psalms 34. All three are in Psalms, my favorite book of the Bible. Psalms 34 and verse number 18. The broken heart. When you have one, if you get one, remember these verses. Psalms 34 and verse number 18. We could read a lot more verses, but we'll just look at three. Psalms 34, 18. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. This morning, when you go through hard times, when you have a broken heart, guess what? You have the exact Word of God that says, verbatim, the Lord is nigh unto them of a broken heart. You remember those times where you had a broken heart before in your life? You remember that time? Well, guess what? God was with you. Amen? You think back, you remember, and you can say of truth, yeah, it hurt, yeah, it wasn't comforting, yeah, it was a hard time, a hard situation, but you think about, you look back now, and you can see that God was with you during that time. Amen? The Lord is nigh unto them that have a broken heart. Don't forget that when you feel like, oh, you're alone, as David did, and you say, there's none to comfort me, there's none to give pity on me, nobody cares, nobody knows what I'm going through. Oh, poor, pitiful me, and it may be, oh, poor, pitiful you at that point. You know what? God is with you. The Lord is nigh unto you this morning. If you've got a broken heart, remember that. He is near you this morning. Psalms 51. Psalms 51, the second verse. Psalms 51 in verse number 17. Psalms 51 in verse number 17. Notice what the Scripture says here. Psalms 51:17. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. And we're not even getting into that. That's a whole other good thing to get into. A broken spirit. A broken and a contrite heart. Broken and a contrite heart. O God, Thou wilt not despise. This morning, not only is God near you when you have a broken heart, but the second thing this morning is, amen, He will not despise you when you have a broken heart. Amen? The Lord will not despise you. There may be some around today, and unfortunately sometimes when you're going through things and your heart's broken so much and you don't know where to turn to or what to do or what to say, you and I may not be too pleasant to be around. Amen? We may not want to be around nobody else at that time, at that point. But remember, the Lord's with you, and the Lord doesn't despise that. Amen? The Lord knows when you have that broken heart. Maybe that broken heart is, and we haven't mentioned this, because of some sin in your life. And maybe the Lord's taken and convicted you of that sin, allowed some punishment, if you will, or repercussion because of your sin, or the direction you went in your life. That can lead to a broken heart too a lot of times, and that you finally see, Lord, forgive me. I'm sorry for my sin. I'm sorry for what I've done. Lord, please forgive me of that. He will not despise a broken heart. The Lord instead loves that. Amen. He draws nigh to that. So this morning, remember, if you have a broken heart, He's nigh and He will not despise the broken heart. Amen. That's two good things. Amen. If you agree with that, say amen.
Amen.
Now, let's look at the best one of all. Psalms 147. Save the best for last. Psalms 147. And notice with me verse number 3. Psalms 147 and verse number 3. Remember, if you have a broken heart, He's nigh, He's near you, He's with you. Remember that He will not despise you. You have His exact word on it. But remember this. Psalms 147. And verse number 3. This morning, if you have a broken heart, you need one thing simply done. I have a saying that I use a lot of times that's I like and seem like most people don't want to go by it. It's the way things are. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. Amen. But at work, they keep wanting to change things that ain't broke and keep trying to fix them and breaking them. But they wasn't broke to begin with. Y'all feel like that sometimes too, right? You think with me. But you know what? If you've got a broke heart, what do you need? You need it fixed. Psalms 147 and verse number 3. Oh Lord, lost my place. Thank you, Lord. Psalms 147 and verse number 3. He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. He telleth the number of the stars. He calleth them all by their names. Great is our Lord, and of great power. His understanding is infinite. May I say this morning, thirdly, when you have a broken heart, realize that He can heal it. Realize that God can take and heal the broken heart. He's, by the way, the only one that can heal the broken heart. You can go to the doctor, and we need to go to doctors sometimes. I'm not knocking doctors, okay? But He can't heal a broken heart. Many today are trying to do that, and medicine can't cure a broken heart. Exercise can't cure a broken heart. Me time, there's a story behind that, can't heal a broken heart. Psychological, all that stuff that many try to do today can't heal a broken heart. The only thing that can truly heal a broken heart, and the only one, is Dr. Jesus. He's the only one. He said here in the verse, He healeth the broken in heart. Today, may I say, if you have a broken heart, in the future, if you have a broken heart, remember, He's near you. He won't despise you. And remember, He's the only one that can heal you. The Bible said here, remember, He knows the number of the stars. Surely He can take care of mine and your broken heart. Amen. We just found out there's something supposedly like or is water on Mars. You know what? God knew that a long time ago. If there is water, ain't water, I don't know. But I know this, if there is, God knew it. Amen? And whatever else we're going to discover in the future, whether it be true or false, supposedly, that we're going to discover, guess what? God knows it already. And personally, I don't think it really makes much of a difference. Because you know what? He knoweth the number of the stars. He knows. He created them all. Amen? He knows them all. And the problem that you and I are going through that may be overwhelming, that may be facing us, remember that He's with you and He can heal you and He can help you and He'll hear your prayer just like He did David back in the psalm that we read part of a while ago. He calleth them all by their names. And then in verse 5, great is our Lord. Remember how great He is. And of great power. Remember how powerful He is. We sing the song sometimes, how great Thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee. How great Thou art. How great Thou art. Then that peace like a river. Amen. That the Lord gives to us. The Lord, remember how great and how powerful He is. And I like this last phrase best of all. His understanding is infinite. Even when you and I don't understand, even when others look at us and say, I don't understand. Why in the world is this? Why don't you just get past this? Why don't you just go on? Right? Well, you know, may I say, the Lord's understanding is infinite. Amen? He understands. He knows. And you know what? That's why, because He understands and He knows, and He's of great power, guess what He can do? He can fix it. He can fix it. Because He sees the problem and He knows what the heart of the matter is. Even with a broken heart. That's why He's the only one that can truly fix it. Tonight, if you come back, we'll continue on getting even down deeper to the heart of the matter. This morning, the broken heart. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank You for all that You've done this morning. Thank You for Your Word that convicts us. Dear Lord, that also gives us strength and encouragement. Dear Lord, we all go through hard times. We all face trials, troubles, temptations. We all see the wickedness going on around us. A lot of times we see that own wickedness then coming into our own lives as we don't keep our heart with all diligence. Dear Lord, I pray this morning that You'd help us as Your people to seek for You to search our hearts as the psalmist did. Dear Lord, I pray this morning that You'd help us. That, dear Father, if someone here has a broken heart, dear Father, I pray that You would reach down and You'd help them to come to You. Realize that You're near and You won't despise them and that You want to hear. You know already, You just want to hear. And that You're waiting on them to come to You and You can help them. If they'll just trust You and look to You, the One who can heal. Help this morning, I pray, if one's never come to You and does not know You as their Savior, haven't asked You to come into their heart, then, dear Lord, I pray that You'd help that type of broken heart too. That You might be able to take and save that soul and that they might come to know You as their Savior before they leave this place. And that You can give them that new heart, that new man in You. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.